All right, how you doing out there? We're going to talk about one of the most incredible personalities and talents in the history of jazz, a man who left his handprints on a whole lot of innovations in jazz. We are talking about Bennett Lester Carter, born in New York City in 1907, and this cat lived for a long time. He didn't take his next journey until 2003 at the age of 95. Jazz musicians just don't live that long. But Benny had a whole lot to say and a whole lot to do. So let's get started on who this cat was. Of course, we all know him as Benny Carter. Nobody had time for all that Benny Lester stuff, just Benny Carter. And he started out, believe it or not, learning piano with his mother. His mother taught him to play piano. Yeah, she was a great little piano player. And eventually he played trumpet. That was his first love. And then he gravitated to an instrument you don't find very much anymore, the C melody saxophone, kind of a bridge instrument between what we know as the alto and the tenor, kind of in the middle. He played that for a while. But when the alto sax became fairly available, he switched to the alto and became the leading voice on the alto sax as a player and innovator and trendsetter, along with Johnny Hodges, of course, from his swing era on. So when you're talking about alto sax, you're talking about Benny Carter. He's the first cat to do it. Now, why don't we know more about him as a sax player? Well, because he has so many talents. You see, he was also an arranger and a very quick study. He made his first recordings at the age of 19. He was also presumably a fairly educated man, because I know that he participated in the Wilberforce Collegians. This is a college jazz band. And he left there for a short while to make that first recording at 19, but he came back to the Collegians at Wilberforce and then traveled all the way from Wilberforce, Ohio to New York City to headline at the Savoy Ballroom. So these college jazz bands that we don't hear enough about, sometimes I have to do a little history on that, because jazz education started in these historically black colleges and universities. We'll talk about that later. Wilberforce is just one. You had the FAMU Collegians and many, many others. Anyway, Benny Carter became the leader of the Wilberforce Collegians and led them on stage at the Savoy. But once you're in New York, you gotta go back, especially if you're a musician. So although he went back to Wilberforce, it wasn't long before he's back in New York, and he's playing with everybody, including Earl Father Hines. Yeah, he was making great connections. He's working with Benny Goodman and people like that. And he's working with the papa of all papas when it comes to big band and arranging, Fletcher Henderson. As a matter of fact, he became Fletcher Henderson's arranger. And this is a guy who had zero formal training as an arranger. He likes to tell the story that he would get down on the floor on his hands and knees and write out the lead trumpet part, then write out the lead saxophone part, and then fill everything else in. It was all trial and error for him. But evidently, he became pretty good at it, because he replaced Don Redman, who had been helping Fletcher out a little bit, and he became Fletcher Henderson's main arranger. Other than, of course, Fletcher himself. Well, by this time, Fletcher is writing for, you know, Benny Goodman and other cats, so Fletcher needed a little help, and that little help came from Benny Carter, great arranger. He's writing great music. And he's got so much of this going on that he's playing with other people's groups. He's writing for other people's groups. and he ends up in New York, and he's playing with this one, he's playing with that one. Somehow, he ends up being one of the first black musicians to travel to England. Yeah. And he made several recordings while he was there, played with local musicians all over England, in France, in Scandinavia, and even toured into the Netherlands, bringing them a taste of real American jazz. He actually became the arranger for the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, big band. So evidently, his work on his hands and knees, figuring out arranging technique, worked pretty well. He's now arranging around the world. And he stays in Europe, he has a great time, he's made several recordings, he's traveling here and there, he's spreading the world of jazz, but he's gotta come back home. So he comes back home and he starts doing what he does. He's got a small group, he's got a big band. And his big band is actually being showcased at the Savoy. So he comes back home to one of the biggest gigs around, one of the steadiest and best paying. And he had a small group to play some of the smaller clubs. So he knew how to make that money. He knew how to keep things going like they needed to be going. And that worked out real well until bebop started creeping in New York. And so the big band thing was dying and the swing thing was dying. And he moves to California. And for a short while, he has a big band out there that has like Max Roach in it and J.J. Johnson and cats like that. And they're doing a great job out there doing their thing in California, bringing this new music out there to the West Coast, creating a new kind of West Coast jazz that got that whole Midwest, East Coast flavor to it where it's swinging and it's hot. Oh yeah, we gonna heat that cool jazz up in California, baby. Benny Carter is bringing the fire. And of course, Mike Roach is bringing some fire. And JJ Slide is about to catch on fire as well. So we got some good stuff happening out there. He did that for a while, and when that slowed up, he changed again. He said, well, what's popular now? Singers are popular now. So he started writing arrangements for some of the more popular singers. Let's see, how about Ella Fitzgerald? You think she was popular? Or Sarah Vaughan? Huh? Or Louis Armstrong, right? Peggy Lee? Yeah, these are the most popular singers today. And whose music is setting them up for success? The arrangements of one Benny Carter. Now, he also rediscovers the trumpet somewhere in the 30s and 40s and starts recording as a trumpet player and is getting just as much respect for his trumpet playing as he is for his sax playing. And this is why some people do not really give Benny the credit he deserves for what he did to promote and create the sound of the alto saxophone. Maybe if he hadn't been recording on the clarinet and the tenor sax and the soprano sax and the trumpet and the trombone and the piano and singing and writing, man, I almost got a handful here. If he hadn't been doing all that stuff, if he just had stuck with the alto sax alone, well, he would have been bored. He would have been really bored. But then we would go, oh yeah, man, Benny Carter wasn't care for the alto sax. Cut that mess out. He's the man for the alto sax anyway, because he was the first. Johnny Hodges kind of followed him. We'll talk about Johnny just a little bit later. People start to take note of this man. And soon, Princeton invites him in to do some clinics. A couple of days here, a couple of days there, a couple of days here, a couple of days there. And one of his slow periods actually got him to stay for a whole semester. Now he becomes Professor Bennett Lester Carter. He even gets one of several honorary doctorates. New School, Manhattan School, Princeton, so many others. I could just go on and on. But yeah, they gave him an honorary doctorate. He became one of the first jazz professors, real jazz musicians, who was a professor at a major university. That's also Benny Carter. Grammys? He was nominated 8 times. He won 3, including a Lifetime Achievement Award. He continued to play and record on the sax and the trumpet and anything else he could get his hands on all the way through the 90s. He kept pushing. He kept creating. He kept writing. He kept playing. He kept swinging. He kept jamming. He kept growing. And he kept sharing his wonderful talent with all of us. Let's remember Benny Carter, pretty much the father of alto saxophone, but also a great clarinetist, tenor saxophone, and soprano sax, oh boy, C melody sax, trumpet, trombone, piano, vocalist, arranger, composer, professor. That is Mr. Bennett Lester Carter, better known as Benny Carter, born in New York City, 1907, and departed for that great orchestra in the sky in 2003. Thank you, Benny. We love you. And you know what? This guy still listens to Benny Carter. Go out and check him out right now. Thank you.